Our study this morning will be on the subjects of condemnation, pardon, and forgiveness. Are you condemned? Are you pardoned? Are you forgiven? Have you ever wondered why man lived on the earth for 2,500 years before God gave him the Ten Commandments? Adam didn't have them. Abraham didn't have them. It wasn't till 500 years after Abraham that the Ten Commandments were delivered to Moses. Strange, don't you think? He gave Adam one rule: don't eat of this tree of life, or ye shall die. So what was the reason for that? Well, as it turns out, the purpose of the law was a part of a covenant made with the nation of Israel. The Lord said, Israel, do this, and I will make you great. And Israel said, oh boy, that'll be great. We'll be the greatest nation of all. Look at the things that God's promised us if we do this. And they said, we will, Lord. Moses comes down with their part of the covenant that was made with them. And from that chapter on, in Exodus chapter 12, in all of the Old Testament, it was just utter failure on their part. They couldn't do it. And neither can you. And neither can I. It's nice to try, but it's not given to give you a guilt trip. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Him. So there was really two purposes of the law. One, it was a part of a covenant, and then two, it was to teach. And because the wages of sin is death, by the way, it doesn't say the wages of sin is everlasting punishment in hell. It says the wages of sin is death. And that death, if we research that out, we'll find is actually the grave. The wages of sin is the grave. And there's not likely to be any reduction in those wages. It's going to be there for eternal. So it's a cinch that we cannot do without the love of God. Our failure is something that means eternal separation from Him if we don't come to the mark. And the mark we can't actually achieve because we can't keep those Ten Commandments either. But I thank God because of His infinite mercy, His love, and His grace. He has provided for my weakness. I've always said that if I got what I deserved, a big axe would come out of heaven and chop me in half. But He loved me. Unconditionally, He has loved me in mercy and in grace. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. It's a good chapter. You might want to read it sometime. Read the entire chapter. Romans chapter 8, page 1677, if you're using a companion Bible. Chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, in other words, Israel couldn't keep it, and neither can we. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here we see that we are justified and redeemed by the death of and the resurrection of Christ. We are made free. It is a gift to all that will believe. They become children of God. And by the way, contrary to popular belief, we are not all children of God. You hear that all the time. Oh, we're God's children. No. The scripture says, to them that believe gave he the power to become sons of God. And this act of love and grace removes any condemnation of the believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, it's a few pages over, I'll read it for you, we don't have to go there, says that we are bought with a price. We see that other places in Scripture, and of course the price was the blood of Christ who came and died for us. Now to understand that, bought with a price, there's something behind that in Scripture. And if you understand the manumission, and I know Redmond quit pulling this stuff out on us, manumission, what is a manumission? Well, it's to pay the manumit. You have to know a little bit about the Old Testament, about your Old Testament history. The manumission. It was a mission or a trip to the temple with a slave, the owner of a slave. And what the process was, they didn't really have slavery like we think of slavery here in the United States in the South before the Civil War. Slavery and bondage was a little bit different process that went on in the Old Testament. The slave could be sold to the temple. He was paid. The servants and the bond servants were actually paid. They were put into slavery because they did something wrong, but they could work their way out of slavery by paying this manumit. The money that he received, it would go into the treasury at the temple. And it was deposited there in a savings account for this servant or this slave. And the slave, once he would go and he paid his debt, he was no longer the property of his owner or his master. He was not the property of the temple. He was the property of God, small g. This is how he could work himself out of bondage, because that was the process. That's what, and you'll hear people today say, "Oh, well, they had slaves in the test." Forget it. They don't know what they're talking about. The strange thing to me is that he could put himself back into slavery if he wanted to. He could sell himself back into the process. So it is this process that sets us free, because Christ has paid the price for redemption. He paid the manumit, which was his blood that I quoted on the scripture there in 1 Corinthians 7, 23. That was the process. So you begin to understand better now, he paid the price. What did he pay the price? He paid the price with his blood. Jeremiah 31, 34, I will forgive their iniquity, and he did at the cross. They were imperfect like all of us. Individually and as a nation, they were imperfect. I will forgive their iniquity, and he did. Hebrews 8, 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And he was. Justification may demand justice may demand retribution, but holiness may not look on sin. So love has provided forgiveness. Luke chapter 5, verse 21 says that who can forgive sins but God alone? The Pharisees and the scribes, they understood that. Now, there's a difference between forgiveness and pardon. They are not synonymous words. The differences are not just academic either. A pardon belongs to the gospel of the kingdom, as seen in Matthew. That's where the pardon comes in. To be pardoned, you have to be convicted. But forgiveness comes before there's any conviction. And so there's a difference between being forgiven and being pardoned. Forgiveness belongs to the gospel of the grace of God. He forgives us. Today we are forgiven, free, redeemed, sanctified, glorified, and accepted in the Beloved. It's something to rejoice about. It's good news. We are no longer condemned. Look there in that eighth chapter. Why are we no longer condemned? Because the law of the Spirit or the new nature sets us free from the claims of the law. Many Christians don't understand this. They're walking around with this cloud over their head and their countenance. They don't understand this forgiveness, this freedom. And they say, oh, I'm trying to be good. You know, I don't do this and I don't do that. They say, oh, the devil's always after me. He attacks me where I'm weak. No, he attacks you where you're strong. He's already defeated you where you are weak. And they're burdened down with guilt because they did something wrong or because they can't do right. Have you ever had a dream where you wanted to run and you couldn't run? You tried your best, you just couldn't run. It is this law in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it is this law of the Spirit in Christ that removes the weight and allows you to run the Christian life. When you understand that, it becomes so much more easy in order to do that, which is talked about in this chapter. I'd like for you to read the rest of the chapter. I don't want to read it today, the whole chapter, but all these things in the flesh that become a problem for each of us. But we're free from it if you believe in Him. Now, at the end of this eighth chapter, Paul asks four questions. If you look there in verse 31, is the first question that he asks. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How do you answer that? You know what? It's unanswerable. The question disappears in infinity without finding anyone to take up the challenge. You can't, if God be for you, who can be against you? The censure is, we can be confident because God has spared not His own Son, and we are given freely all things that are children and sons of God. He has paid the price and set us free. No one can speak against us. In the end, no one can come against us. It's victory over death is what it amounts to. The second question Paul answers is in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. When He justifies you through belief in His Son, the score of the game is everything to zip. It's everything to nothing. It's 100 to nothing when you are justified in Him. It's one of those situations where heads you win, tails you win, and if it comes up on edge, you're still a winner. God stands in your place. The third question comes in verse 34. Who is it Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Here is the work of Christ finished, not only in his death, but his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of God the Father. That's where we are. That's where we stand in the Beloved. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Here Paul leaves the court of law and turns to our present circumstances. Now it is evident from Scripture that perfect acceptance with God does not bring immunity from suffering in this life. I'm sorry to tell you, you don't have a guardian angel, as is so commonly taught. Evidence of that is the fact that the apostles themselves were hung, beheaded, persecuted, fed to the lions. All children of God have suffered throughout history. There is an explanation that we have talked about earlier. He suffered right along with us. He was numbered among the transgressors. That was when God was with us on earth. So the bottom line is, to those that have accepted Christ in the Lord Jesus, stand free. We are free from the law of sin and death. It is a gift, unmerited and unearned, without condemnation. It is forgiveness. It's not a pardon. It is eternal. It is permanent. It is free to those that accept. There is no condemnation. It is by love and grace that it is ours. It cannot be revoked or separated from us. Look there again in that 8th chapter, beginning with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Have you accepted the gift? That's the single most important question that man has to answer. Have you accepted this free gift of God through his Son, Christ Jesus? If you have not, I strongly suggest that you give it your utmost consideration. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love towards us. We are so grateful for the written word, the understanding that we may have through it. I pray that you would continue to work in our lives, that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that our understanding, the eyes of our understanding might be opened. I'm thankful for each person here. I ask that you would be with them, guide them in all that they say and do. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.